Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The theme this year for camp has to do with the Olympics. The Olympic Games. Those are coming up here real quick. I don't know how excited you are about those. We're excited because I think it'll be a great time as America perhaps shows its true colors. Hopefully we can get some gold medals that way. Well, being such, we also have that same theme, going for the gold, or go for the gold. Kyle, I don't know if you saw his shirt. He has on his shirt what the theme is. He's got that new shirt. It's go for gold. And what we're doing is we're looking at that prize. The theme verse is found in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We find that what we are to be in this Christian life, in this life as we are striving to honor God, we're pressing for that prize. I remember being in soccer, and in soccer, you have to keep pushing the ball forward. Sometimes you would strategically kick the ball backwards. You'd kick it back to a guy over here who wasn't guarded, and then he'd kick it to a guy over there while everybody's attention has gotten distracted in what's happening. And then you keep pushing forward. The whole point is to get the ball in the goal, in the net. When you watch football game and a soccer game, some of those kinds of games, you see the ball or the puck on the one side of the goal, of the halfway point, and the one team has to play defense all the time. You say to yourself, wow, they're not doing so well. They need to take that puck or the ball and get it to the other team's side and push it forward, because the whole point is to win the game, not to show how good a defense that you have. Well, in the game of Christianity, which isn't really a game but an activity, we need to be pushing forward, going to that prize. Now, as we look at this passage, we might really have some confused ideas, so I'm going to catch you up along with it. That is an imperfect position. Paul is writing, he talks about being in an imperfect position. He says in chapter 3, look in verse 12, he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as already obtained, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, it'd be real easy to take this passage and say that Paul doesn't know whether or not he's saved. Paul doesn't know whether or not he's going to heaven. He's working hard. He's trying to attain it, trying to get it. But that's not true. Paul is saved, but Paul is not perfect. If we were to back up, we find in Philippians that it's clear that he's saved. I'm going to go back and looking at verse 4. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh. He's talking, he's comparing himself with those religious leaders that are teaching something different. And the teaching goes along with the Old Testament law especially. And he says, if they have confidence in who they are, if they have confidence in their flesh, the fact that they are a Jew, the fact that they've been circumcised, the fact that they've done these good things. He says, I more so. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of this, so he wasn't a convert into Judaism or into being a Jew. What he was actually born a Jew. Of the stock of Israel, of the line of Jacob, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. So he mentions three things, two different topics, and three things under each. He talks about who he is as a human being. If anyone is of the people of God, it's me, because I was born a Jew. In fact, I have got the Jewish line in my name. My heritage is Jewish. And because of that, I am one of God's chosen people. Because we know that those that are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, those descendants, those Jews, are God's special people. Doesn't mean they have a special relationship with him right now. But they are God's still special people. He's saying, I fit that quality. And then he talks about not who he is or his heritage. He talks about what he's done. He talks about his education concerning the law of Pharisee. He had the utmost education of all the Jews there. He was educated. He could tell you. He practically had the Old Testament memorized. He was an expert at it. So he had all this head knowledge. Not only that, he didn't just have the head knowledge, he had zeal. He had fervor. Boy, he was gung-ho for God. To the point when something strange came up, this teaching about this Jesus. He didn't like what he heard, and he even persecuted the church to the point of putting Stephen to death. And he was going out to arrest and lock up many more men and women and children who professed Jesus Christ. So he was gung-ho for God because that's what he felt God was telling him to do. Finally, he says, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. The fact that not only did he know God's law, but he was very charismatic in his personality for God's law. And when it came to living it, he says, you could look at my life record and you wouldn't even find a smudge of something wrong. Notice what he says here. What things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. This man was not saved based on the fact that of who he was. Or of his heritage. He was not, he knew what God's law said, but that didn't gain him anything in regards to the righteousness of God. Not only was it his knowledge and profound understanding of the Old Testament as far as he wanted to, he did not draw from it the clear message of Christ. And saw Christ fulfilling scripture. He was too busy being concerned with whether something's done right. Whether somebody's right, wearing the right kind of clothes for what they're doing. Whether they are got their hair combed the right way. Whether they washed their hands the right way. Whether they ate the right kinds of meat on the right kinds of days. He was very concerned, very what we would call legalistic. But that wasn't the gain for righteousness. And then not only did he know it, but boy, he was gung-ho. Some people in this world are very knowledgeable, but quite dull and boring. Some people, though, are the opposite. They're very excited about something, but they really don't have a real base knowledge about what they're all excited about. And I've seen some people, if you've talked to them, and they get really excited about Jesus, and they get talking about the religion and all that, and the more they talk, the more you realize they really don't know a lot of the scripture. Because some of the things they say are not what the Bible really says. After all, the Bible says God helps them who helps themselves. The Bible doesn't say that anywhere. There's a principle that God wants us to do things, and he blesses us in it. But the Bible doesn't teach if you want something done, you gotta do it yourself. So they're very excited and got a lot of fervor, but you know what? They're missing out on knowledge. He's had both of them. And sometimes you'll find somebody that is very, very head knowledge about the Bible. You'll find them also pretty excited about God. But at the same time, you look at their life and you say, where is it applied to their life? They're not living righteously. Paul says, all three of their points, I got it down. Salvation is not of that, though. He says, I count that loss for Christ. He said, I did that for me. I did that because I thought that's what was right. But I didn't put two and two together. I was so blinded that I did not see that the righteousness that I needed was in Jesus Christ, in Him alone. So all of that stuff that I am and have, I bind it all up and throw it into a sack, and I throw the sack over the bridge and let it float down the river. Why? Because it doesn't matter. When a person comes before God in salvation, whether their past is horrible or their past is what one might consider great, it doesn't matter. You need Jesus Christ as your Savior. And He indeed did trust Jesus Christ as His Savior. So all those things that He was and did didn't do anything for Him to get saved. And as we apply that going through the rest of what we read, especially in 12 through 14, it can't mean that He has to do those things to get to heaven. They couldn't get Him to know Christ, and we put His faith in Jesus Christ. Those aren't the things that are going to get Him to heaven. It's what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. But, He says, He continues on there, verse 8, and indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, in whom I have suffered and lost all things, and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, from doing those things, but by faith in Christ, which is the righteousness, which is from God by faith. He says in verse 10, He did it, and now He wants to know Christ. That knowledge isn't, He knew Jesus Christ. He was saved. He knew that Jesus Christ died on the cross, God's Son, came to this earth, was born of Mary as a virgin. Mary was still a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He was buried and came back to life to pay the penalty for our sins so we could go to heaven. And all we have to do is believe, put our trust in what He has done for us. So He knew that. But what does He mean here? That I may know Christ. He's talking, I want a deeper relationship with Him. I want to know Him better. Wives, have you ever said to your husband, I just don't understand? Or husbands, you know better than to say it, so you think it. I don't understand that woman. And so you try to figure Him out. Don't try too hard, you'll never get it. No, I'm just kidding. You work hard at trying to get to know them better. Maybe there's a stranger that you've met, and you want to try to build a relationship. Try to get to know who they are. Maybe have a door open to share the gospel. And so you ask all these intrusive questions. You want to get to know them better. Over a period of a conversation or over several conversations, you want to understand what they think, how they work. If you're like me, you listen to them and watch them and you try to figure out because they kind of fit in a certain pattern of people. You know, is this an outgoing type of person? Is this person more shy? Is this person, you know, pretty philosophical, religious? Or is this person pretty substance-oriented, materialistic? You know, are they pretty hung up on themselves? You know, he's trying to figure out who they are so you can relate to them better. And Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Him thoroughly inside and out. I want to know Him terrifically, and in the way of knowing that, in verse 10, that I might know the power of resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Think about that. What kind of power is it that Jesus, God and Holy Spirit, all involved, interestingly enough, the power that it takes to raise someone from the dead. Paul's not saying, I'm trying to investigate to discover how to do that. So I want to understand the great power of God and see God using that power through me. That may be through, that may not be through Him raising people from the dead, but elsewhere that's done. We need to make sure that we are striving to know God that special way. that we might know Him and the power of His resurrection. He goes on and he says there, the fellowship of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. He's not saying, I want to suffer like Christ did. In suffering and paying for my own sin or somebody else's sin. But He says, I want to be able to have that suffering experience for having done what's right. Christ suffered for doing what's right. Along with that, being conformed to His death. To the point of even death itself. We have to strive to understand Christ to the best of our ability. We have to strive to really work at doing what is right. Why? Because the more we know Him, the better we can serve Him. And the more we know Him, the more we want to be with Him. And it causes us to work for the prize, the high calling. We want that in our lives. He goes on, he says, if by any means that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He's not saying that I might work up to the point that I am resurrected, but he's looking to that time where he will be resurrected. We find here that he is, in verse 12, he says, not that I've already attained, or I'm already perfected. Not that I've already achieved that. Not that I've already come to the point where now I'm resurrected. See, there is something that, especially with the Corinthians church, that what he was struggling with, and the Philippians may have gained some of that as well. You've reached that point. You've reached that point of perfection. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't sin anymore, you don't have problems anymore, you're perfect. I said, I haven't reached that point yet. Instead, what he does is, I haven't gotten there yet, but I press on. When I think of that, I think about those hills that you run on. And you push on to get to the top. When daily life, what you can do is you push forward for those things. We're going to keep you up here on here, the intense pursuit. In order to achieve those great things that God has for you, what do you need to do? Go look back. He says, forgetting those things which were lost. He says in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, I have counted as loss for Christ. But indeed, I also counted all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord, whom I suffered loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ. He's putting those things aside. He says those things don't matter anymore. Verse 13. He says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, when we forget those things that are behind and reach for those things that are ahead, we're doing two things, not just one. We're forgetting the past. You know, we can remember the past failures that we've had, and we can say of our past failures, see, I am just a loser. I can't do anything right. Have you ever thought that to yourself? Have you ever had such terrible, maybe the day was rotten, or as you kind of review your life a little bit, you say to yourself, man, how frustrating. It seems like everything I touch doesn't turn to gold, turns to rust. I just can't seem to do anything right. It just doesn't turn out. Therefore, I'm not going to try to do what's right. I'm just going to kind of cruise along. No sense trying to push myself to do anything more or better, to get involved in a different ministry, to share Christ with somebody, or to minister to somebody, because everything I've touched has turned to rust. And we look at our failures, and we think we're a failure, therefore our whole attitude towards life is, I can't do anything, I'm just a loser. It's a very real feeling. On the other hand, at the same time, another person could have those things in the past, and he can say, well, I'm such a great person. Everything I touch turns to gold. I am the best at everything I do. I'm the best basketball player. I'm the best this or the best that. And everything that I do, I'm the best at it. And I deserve all this praise. And I've done so much. And I'm so good that I am now. I don't need to go to practice anymore. what happens as a Christian life is, well, I've done all these things for God, and now I'm, you know, I've done all that for so many years. It's time for me to sit back and kind of enjoy life now, to retire from ministry. There's no such thing as retirement in the Scripture. The only retirement occurs when you hear that shout in the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. That's that full retirement. We may change our positions. We may end our working career for one reason or another. But we don't. That doesn't mean we don't do anything the rest of our life. Sit on the couch and eat bonbons watching TV. I don't know what's on TV. Not doing that. But we adjust our lifestyle and our focus changes a little bit. Same within the spiritual life. And not only forgetting those past failures, which will keep us from trying to push on, or relying on those past successes, which will cause us to say, hey, I've done good enough, I don't need to do anymore. Paul says everything in the past, his list is the positive. He says, so what? I'm reaching forward, I'm forging ahead for the prize. I've got to get it. Man that's a runner can run down in a marathon. You'll see it down in the Olympics, when the Olympics are over there in London. And you'll see the marathon run. And the first person who's that's ahead near mile 22, 24, somewhere in there. He looks back. He keeps looking back. He wants to know where somebody is. Why? Because he's keep pushing himself. He doesn't keep looking back. Why? Because then he'll wander all over. He's got to stay focused. He's got to hit that target, the finish line. And so he pushes forward to win the prize. He doesn't come to a point where he says, huh, I'm good enough, and start walking. That's a good time to get past. Maybe if you're 3 feet from the finish line, but you never know. You start walking or get your stride messed up a little bit, you'll end up tripping on yourself or whatever. Remember the story of the tortoise and the hare? They both start at the finish, at the start line, and the hare, the rabbit, he ran on ahead. And that tortoise just lopped along. And that rabbit got clear ahead, and he looked back and said, well, I got time for a nap. He took himself a nap. And that turtle just kept on going. That tortoise slowly moving, steady, steady. That tortoise passed the rabbit that was sleeping. And he got up near the finish line. The rabbit woke up and said, whoa, I'm going to lose this race. I can't believe I slept so long. He jumps up and runs as fast as he can and still loses the race. That tortoise, he just kept moving, kept on going. In the Christian life, you have to keep on going. Who cares about what past failures you've had? They may affect a little bit about the way you reach forward to do well for Christ, possibly may have disqualified you for something or adjusted your ministry some way. But you don't focus on, well, I did that in the past, I can't do anything. No, you keep pushing forward for that upward call. That upward call, the immortal prize. He says, I press to the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You have, some of the versions have heavenward call. The word itself is up. The translators must have had in mind, well, that up must have the idea of heaven in mind. And that's true. The phrase here could either refer to, I want to finish well, as Paul says to Timothy. And so he works well for God because he wants to finish well. So that way, when he gets to heaven, he can be proud of, not proud, that comes across wrong, but glad that he did the work that he did to get to heaven. Not to get to heaven, on his way to heaven. He wants to finish well. I remember when we were on the field, the soccer coach said, leave it on the field. What he meant is, you go out there and you work yourself to death, that you have to drag yourself out off the field. Don't come back at the end of the game all happy and giddy and bouncy. Why? Because it means they didn't put the effort on the field. So leave it on the field. And we have to leave it on the field. We're pushing for the prize. Not because in order to get to heaven and try to achieve it, but the sake that we're going to heaven, because I'm going to heaven, I'm going to keep pushing that way. My life preparing for when I am up there. And my life striving hard to honor God. So when I get up there, possibly having in mind the idea of the rewards up in heaven. There'll be crowns that will be given. There are rewards that will be given when we do our effort here on this earth for Christ. Though we may not get any praise, though nobody may see it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul says, in light of the resurrection, the reality of it, and the fact that having trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going to be part of that resurrection. In light of that, work. Abundantly serve the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not for nothing. There are awards in heaven for the work that we do. I want you this morning to see that as a believer, we don't sit there at the bus station with our heavenly ticket in hand. No, that's not the way it goes. The way that it works is that we need to strive to be working diligently. Because we don't know when that train whistle will come. And so we're going to strive to work diligently for the Lord until we're called. Boys might be working out in the yard and we might have some place to go. Are we going? Are we going? I said, don't worry about it. Just finish the job that you're on. I'll tell you when we go. God's telling you, finish the job that you're on. Strive for that prize. He'll tell you when you hit that finish line. He'll let you know. You just keep on running. We must strive to do what we can to finish well for the Lord. This verse, this theme verse is an excellent theme verse for camp. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you, are you pressing for that prize? Or have you gotten lazy as a Christian? Are you so focused on your past failures that you says, well, it's no point in me trying to do well for God, to clean up my life, to strive to get involved in different ministries, to minister to my neighbors, or my family, my friends? Or are you so settled on your successes in the past that you say, I've done enough for God, I don't need to keep trying to better myself in the knowledge of Christ, to better myself in the activity I do for Christ? Are you pressing forward to that prize? I hope you are. This morning, if you need encouragement in doing so, if you need to get in the race by being saved, I encourage you to come forward. If you need some help getting right back on track so you're pressing towards the prize, I encourage you to come forward. Myself or somebody else will pray with you, encourage you, that we may be able to, as one, press forward to that prize, to that goal.